My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ayut behind Bell left. They run Mason off the left side. A cutback run. Touchdown! San Francisco!
And the 49ers off to their fast start, burying Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets defense 32-19. Good morning, Metroplex. Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Sean, RJ, Bob, we got Peyton and Carter in the back. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And Jerry Jones just joined us here on the show. Biggest takeaways. I think, RJ, something is blowing you away that I have been throwing out as a theory for a number of years now.
When we asked him why not do it earlier, and he said, what if you're wrong?
For the Dak deal.
For the Dak deal. And he said, what if you're wrong? Which means to me that they were still evaluating.
That's what I took.
You know, that other quarterbacks of his caliber, Cincinnati wasn't evaluating Joe Burrow. They just signed him.
Well, like, you could say different evaluation, that Joe Burrow's more of a stud.
Well, yeah, you could. You could.
Burrow had shown them, I can get you here. They're trying to evaluate, can he get us there?
Yes.
Right, but like, okay, so Josh Allen hasn't.
Right.
They didn't like quibble with like, well, is he the guy?
But everyone has Josh Allen as a top three quarterback in the league. Different.
But I think
he's a tough quarterback to evaluate.
That's also a different question because you're talking about a second contract. Like, when you've gotten to a second contract, it's like, man, I made the evaluation, thought he could the first time. If we're into the second one now and it hasn't happened yet,
yeah,
what am I missing here?
Look.
But I think that's the point. It's like, that's the realization that either this, if you're still evaluating him.
Yeah, 8 years in.
Then you shouldn't have paid him.
So you think the evaluation should and has to be done after what amount of time?
I think there comes a certain point of time where you're not evaluating that player anymore. That's just your guy.
You'd think.
Right? And now evaluating the first contract, I have no problem with.
But we also, you point out all the time with your quarterback studies, and I think correctly so, you guys have come up with the amount of years that you should wait on your quarterback. And it really clicks in what? Would you say six?
You're six. And
okay.
You know, I mean, it kind of has clicked after the last couple of years. You know, it's...
Look, just like with Tony Romo, in my opinion, I think he's a very difficult player to evaluate in terms of a Super Bowl caliber guy. The stats are there. I think he's always had a very nice supporting cast. And then you have the playoff failures. Not against the records against over 500 teams, beating up on the scrubs. And I was told about 3 or 4 years ago in a meeting, and this is why I came up with this theory I kind of stole, that Jerry in a meeting about 5-6 years into Dak's career, something like that, looked up and was like, are we sure that this is the guy? Are we sure? Expressing doubt or questioning it. And I was like, I think they're still evaluating. I still think they're trying to figure it out. And they're willing to pay more of a price, and that tax, that delay tax, after considering what are the alternatives and is he the guy? I think he's a very, that's why he's, you know, it's a polarizing guy, just like Romo was. Is Romo a playoff choker? Did he finally figure it out? Yeah. He puts up the numbers. He's Hollywood. He can't win an NFC East championship, excuse me. He's a fantastic athlete. I think that they are two very tough players to evaluate as a championship person.
A lot of people in the Franklin Engineers fan text saying he literally said he's talking not specifically about Dak. He said it in general.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we could kind of infer who the hell he's talking about when we asked him about Dak.
Yeah, I think he was just trying not to make something a personal comment.
I think he was talking in general, but I also think, like, I think it's true about both. I think it was clearly in response to a question about Dak, and he was saying, well, look, in general, every contract you approach, you have to ask this question, and you have to evaluate it. What if you're wrong?
He's still gun-shy over Jalen. Or Gallup.
I mean, maybe they wanted to apply it to Lamb. Right, we talked about that when the Lamb deal got done. Did they want to see one more year of he's a no doubt number one? I don't know. I'm just throwing that into the mix.
Yeah, and I mean, it's Dak. When you're evaluating Dak and you're trying to answer the question, when he says, what if you're wrong? I wonder, and it's far too detailed and nuanced a discussion to probably jump into in the short time we have with him, and that's why I didn't follow up with him on it, but
not that he would have heard it, because your first two questions, your speech impediment, obviously gave him trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna have to start. I'm gonna have to start stuttering and stammering so that he hears the question a few times. Now the thing I wonder is that,
or drop your balls down.
Whoa!
Would he say? Do they have to evaluate it based on, I think Dak can win a Super Bowl for me, okay? That's step one, initially. Do I think he can do it? Yes. Now I got to start wondering, do I think he can win me a Super Bowl at these price points where now I'm losing?
Yeah, the help.
And so I think he's saying, yeah, if I've got Dak on a $40 million a year, I'm comfortable with it and feel like he can win it. What dollar figure am I comfortable he can still win it with?
Right.
But I mean, we said this yesterday. You reach a point where with quarterbacks, there's no give and take. It's, this is how much it costs. You're not going to the dealership. You're not haggling. You're not getting any price knockdown. This is how much it costs. You either buy the car or you don't. And that's what was kind of facing them.
Rex Ryan reacting to the Dak deal, and he sounded pretty excited about the future of this football team after it.
For the future, they absolutely made the right move. Dak Prescott's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And the thing that I like most about him, I think he's the best leader in the National Football League. He puts it all on himself to the point where he gets criticized by pundits everywhere that don't know anything about the game or ripping him beyond belief. But he takes every bullet and he makes it easier for his teammates and everything else. That's what I love about Dak Prescott. By the way, he was a four-time captain in college.
I was like, is that a shot at Stephen A? Same network, those people who are ripping him. So that's right. You know, when we go on different radio shows in other markets, it's amazing to me.
I was on Saskatchewan radio yesterday.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
For what?
Apparently, they talk a lot of NFL.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
As opposed to what there?
Maple syrup.
CFL. NHL, 12 months a year.
Good gosh. Hoser.
I mean, the Oilers are about to start up training camp here soon.
The have-nots in the NFL world usually have a different radio take than the haves, right? So the have-nots are like, we'll take him. DC radio go on. Yeah, he may not be the guy, but look what we've been going through. Rex Ryan was a have-not in his NFL career. So, of course, he's going to be like, oh, I would have killed for Dak Prescott over Mark Sanchez. Are you kidding me? So speaking of quarterbacks, where did this shot come from? We've had this guy on. He just wants to go around living life, drinking his wine.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Drew Bledsoe was talking about Tony Romo replacing him here in Dallas.
In Dallas, Parcells made the decision to yank me at halftime of a game and throw Romo in there. Whoa. Really didn't agree with that one. If you're watching this, Romo, you know this is true. The minute that he became the starter, he became pretty big in his own mind. And he was no longer the curious, inquisitive guy. Where that was the difference between him and Tommy. Tommy became the starter. He still was asking all the questions where all of a sudden Romo was the guy that had all the answers.
That's an assassination.
Wow.
Look, Tony had a...
It doesn't seem like there was a lot of joking in that. And he's like, Tony, if you listen, you know it's true as well.
I don't know what the relationship's like. I have no idea. I know Drew's just like hanging out in Idaho right now, just doing his wine thingy, but...
It's not great.
Probably not.
What's not great?
He said, I don't know what their relationship is like. I'm saying it's not great.
Probably not.
Oh, I thought you meant the wine.
But
fantastic.
Yeah, wine's supposed to be amazing.
How do the grapes grow out there in Idaho?
I think his wine like is actually in... Washington, but whatever. This is, you know, when Tony took over, he had a player show. Like he did a show every week. I can't remember what day it was.
103.3?
Yeah, it was on the ESPN station here when I was there.
Hallelujah.
And I'm sure they paid him, right? I'm sure they paid him, but like the moment he became the starter, he stopped. He stopped doing the show.
Yeah.
Which, whatever, I get it.
Understandable.
You've got more on your plate, more to do. But, yeah, there was, sure, I mean, he changed. Of course he changed. Everybody changes.
Well, Tom didn't. Drew just said Tom didn't.
Tom's different, though. That's a whole situation is different with Bill.
Let's just be real, and I'll say it because Bobby is, you know, comes across as Dak obsessed and a Romo hater. Add this to the pile of things that you heard about Tony as a teammate and behind the scenes. You add it to what you hear. I don't know Romo personally, but... You heard that he separated himself when Dak took over. Wasn't necessarily the best teammate in terms of advice. There's Bledsoe saying, and I don't hear Drew Bledsoe crap on anyone. He said Tony Romo became a know-it-all. Like, I'm the expert now. That he's not working that hard in the broadcast booth. These are just all things that you hear about Tony.
Yeah, look, there's you can find plenty of people that you
I don't
can
know what's true and not.
There's plenty of people you can right. You can't say with certainty this is true or that, but the reality is there's plenty of people you can talk to behind the scenes who will give you two very different representations of how they feel about Tony. Like in terms of what he was as a teammate, how they enjoy their interactions with him. There are a lot of people who think like Drew Bledsoe thinks about him. And then there's a lot of people who really like him and think that he's really
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
It's like Captain America is Jason Witten. Like you would think the greatest, everything you'd want in a football player and a leader, he's tight with Tony. So if someone like Jason,
super tight. Yep.
Would Jason Witten going to be super tight with Tony Romo if Tony Romo was, you know, a crappy teammate in person?
Right.
I mean, common sense would say no.
Tony did a lot of things that were good. Like they're a good teammate. Like, so the media wanted him to go and do his weekly interviews at the podium instead of the scrum at his locker. And he's like, no, I'm no different than everybody else.
Right.
Doing the locker room. And that was like a good teammate, likable thing. Because at that time, like, all the star quarterbacks were starting to transition to do them at the podium as opposed to just in the locker sitting down.
Look, here's the I'll just say this. Like, if you want anecdotal evidence for things, you don't hear, like, actively the teammates talking the same sort of, when we talk about everybody always just jumps to Dak's leadership and things like that, that was never Tony. Like, they never said that about Tony, and that should probably show you a stark difference that they felt like it was when they jumped to him.
And then finally, speaking of quarterback broadcasters, Scott Hansen, NFL Red Zone, issuing an apology for kind of doing play-by-play over Tom Brady's call of Brandon Aubrey's possible 71-yard kick on Red Zone.
71?
This is crazy. Yeah.
Well, they got a cover. If it doesn't go in.
This is a 71-yard attempt. And now the Browns will call a timeout.
Maybe everyone's going to rethink this one.
71 yards.
Third and final timeout.
Go to the Jets.
Oh, come on. Brady's got to get more excited than that in the booth.
Ooh. Hansen.
That was bad.
Going at it. Yeah. What?
Yeah, that was, I don't know. I didn't think that was that rough of a criticism.
I kind of want that commentary in that Scott Hansen role. Yeah. Like he's commentating and reacting to the games. I actually thought the clip was longer when I listened to it yesterday, but he's like, what are you doing, Tom? Tom's got to get more excited there in that booth over that call, but he apologized.
He did. He said, quote, that was unfair. It was a tweet. This was unfair and inconsiderate by me. Yes, I was saying it tongue-in-cheek, but I didn't calculate how it may come across. Tom, I apologize. I promise I'm rooting for you in this new venture.
No problem with it.
Yeah.
No problem with it at all. Don Van Natta DMing me. Saying,
oh, baby.
Great interview with Jerry. Quote, I've never seen anyone's feelings get hurt that money can't cure. Perfect. So that was Van Natta appreciating Jerry's line at the end of the interview. So there it is, Inside the Star and around the rest of the National Football League with Sean, RJ, and Roberto. Let's head on out to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Could Jake Ferguson really be playing this week against the Saints? Cowboys clean up with Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com after this. Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell with you. We got Peyton and Carter running things on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We'll crosstalk with the K and C masterpiece at 9:40. Right now, it is Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com. Sounding like they dodged a little bullet with the Jake Ferguson injury news, Nick?
Yeah, most definitely. I think whenever that injury happened on the field, there were a lot of people that were fearing the worst. But I was able to talk to some people coming off the field, and whenever the injury happened, they were like, yeah, it didn't look great. But the initial testing came back. The ACL was intact. Everything looked good. And then when they came back to Dallas yesterday, it just confirmed their beliefs that everything looked good in that knee. So moving forward, it looks like Jake Ferguson is day-to-day, and there's still hope that he can play on Sunday. And if he cannot, then they're definitely going to have to tap into the youth of that tight end room, and somebody will have to step up against the Saints, whether that be a Luke Schoonmaker or John Stevens Jr. if he's healthy, or Brevin Spanford. But nevertheless, it's really good news seeing Jake Ferguson even be on a week-to-week status.
Mike Zimmer's defense, is that fantastic, or the Cleveland Browns offense, is that broken?
I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. I think whenever you look at the Browns' problem, right, it was Deshaun Watson coming off of his injury in his first game, and he looked a little flustered at times. He made some bad throws. He made some bad decisions. I think the thing that was testing the Cowboys the most, though, was just his ability to escape. I mean, you look up and you see six sacks and you're like, ability to escape. It should have been probably 10 or 11. I mean, there was some opportunities that Micah Parsons left on the table, DeMarcus Lawrence and some other guys. But nevertheless, I think that defensive unit under Mike Zimmer, I think they performed well at all three levels. I mean, you could talk about it up front. The pass rush was elite. You know, they got after it from the very beginning, and not having two starting tackles, you know, that's a big reason why. And then you look at the linebacking core, just so improved from last year, a year ago. Eric Kendricks balled out. And then in the secondary, everybody played well from the corners to the safeties.
Yeah, I saw your piece on DallasCowboys.com. Tell us what Mike Zimmer was saying about Eric Kendricks.
Yeah, he was just saying he's still got a lot left in the tank. You know, that he's still flying around. He's still making impact plays going into his ninth season. It's just a really big time opportunity for Eric Kendricks because, you know, he's definitely on the back half of his career, but there's also an opportunity for him in Dallas to be able to be that leader on the defensive side of the ball in year one. And I think we saw that. I think we saw the respect that a lot of his teammates are showing him so far. Just whenever he came out, it was a little bit flustered for a little bit, but then once he came back in, they were able to shore some things back up. You know, Eric Kendricks is very respected in that locker room early on. You know, a lot of those young guys in that linebacker room are leaning on him, and you can definitely see how he's responding to that as well.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on Sean and RJ. Nick, what has jumped out to you about Mike Zimmer in terms of personality, talking with him, and what you think is going to define their defense under his watch?
Yeah, as far as personality, you know, I think whenever he came in, everybody was expecting like this, you know, this big-time hard-ass, right, who was going to be coming in and making some waves from a discipline standpoint. And while that has been the case, he's been a lot more personable, I think, this time around. You know, you talk to guys like Michael Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, even Donovan Wilson. He spent a lot of one-on-one time with those guys, not only learning about them on the field but off the field as well, and that's really paid dividends as far as the trust that the team has in the defense. As far as the scheme and what I'm expecting going forward, you know, we didn't see a whole lot of disguising in that first game, you know, the stuff that we had gotten so used to seeing in training camp. And I think we're still going to see quite a bit of that whenever the time does come. Trayvon Diggs said it after the game. He said, we have over 50 calls in this defense, and we probably used only three of them. So I think it's a complex system. I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, Mike Zimmer unfold everything that he has left in calling this defense. But so far, so good. I really like specifically what he's done with this pass rush unit, what he's done with this linebacking core. You know, this front seven, it was kind of the nucleus of the defense that was missing at times last year, especially when you look at those losses and not being able to stop the run. And, you know, the pass rush in a couple of games kind of just evaporating. But I just don't see that being a problem this year. I think there's going to be consistent pass rush, a consistent attack at getting after ball carriers. And we saw that in week one. I think it'll translate. And we'll have two really good opportunities to see if it'll translate to get some teams that can actually run the ball with Alvin Kamara coming up and then Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson.
Nick, you know, I think our one area here where we were kind of, you know, a little disappointed maybe in the game was the second half offense, that when they were trying to go for that kill shot drive and finish the Browns off, they were never able to put that together. Is that the biggest thing for you coming out of this? And is there any concern that they weren't able to get that done in the second half?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I actually asked offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer about that exactly yesterday. They were 0 for 5 on third down in the second half, couldn't move the ball at all. Fortunately, Kevontae Turpin had that return touchdown, and then Brandon Aubrey was able to bail them out of some good field position situations that they didn't take advantage of. So, you know, at the end of the day, probably didn't look like on paper that they struggled in the second half, but they certainly did. I think from my perspective, it was identifying that, you know, you were going up against a really good defensive coordinator who probably made some really good second half adjustments. But then asking Brian Schottenheimer about it yesterday, he was like, a lot of that fell on us, just not executing, guys being in wrong spots, and, you know, rhythm and timing still kind of moving towards, you know, week two. You know, it's still young in the season. But It was something that was identified in team meetings yesterday. They are addressing it, and they're looking at those things moving forward. But that was a key teaching point on the offensive side of the ball, is trying to figure out what happened there in the second half, and I think they're moving forward with that approach.
Nick, what was your evaluation of the running game?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You look at short yardage situations and you see Ezekiel Elliott power into the end zone. You see them be able to pick up first downs, you know, and that's what I expected out of this running back group. I expected them to at least be able to take advantage of short yardage situations. But, you know, you didn't see the big one get broken. You didn't see, you know, any momentum that was generated because of the run game. And maybe that's something you could have used in the second half. It's like, okay, you're looking up, you know, end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter type range, and you haven't really moved the ball in the third quarter. Okay, let's lean on the running game a little bit and see if it can open it up for us. And that just never happened. And I think it's there still needs to be kind of an intention and approach to figure out how the running game can help facilitate the offense. Right now, I just kind of feel like it's only, you know, helping the offense when it gets inside the 20.
Nick, you know, we saw three jet sweeps for CeeDee Lamb in this game. When you speak about the running game there, teams are obviously going to be keyed in on him as a receiver and trying to take him away this year. Was that just opportunity you think that presented itself, or is this like some of the creative ways that you think the Cowboys are saying, hey, this is how we've got to get the ball in his hands and use his dynamic playmaking if they're going to take some certain things away in coverage?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit more of that latter point you made there. I think also whenever you look at how Mike McCarthy has been quote unquote creative in the run game in the past, it's more so been personnel based, not necessarily scheme based. And I think this is just kind of an extension of that. So getting CeeDee Lamb three carries, I believe for 25 yards in that game, I think that just kind of speaks to the creativity from a personnel standpoint. But yeah, I think getting the ball in his hands in a situation in week one where, you know, it was still a tough defense that team played, and the offense themselves put up 26 points if you don't count the Kevontae Turpin touchdown. And so trying to get the ball in CeeDee Lamb's hands and get him out in open field, I'm sure that was an intention going into the week, just in case that secondary, you know, started to suffocate them a little bit. And then they did start to do that in the second half. So, I think we saw it last year, right? We saw CeeDee Lamb come out of the backfield. We saw those jet sweep type situations. But three times in a game, yeah, that definitely stood out to me too.
Nick, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great one.
Nick Harris, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort, proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. I wanted to leave a few minutes because I thought that KNC got a lot of great stuff. Not Bassick. He doesn't interview. They got a lot of great stuff out of the Stephen Jones interview yesterday. They confirm that there is a no trade clause, no franchise tag clause in Dak Prescott's contract. But then they asked if there's going to be any contract talks with the next one. We're going to negotiate with Micah Parsons during the year?
You know, right now, it's certainly not anything that's on the table. I think, you know, Micah made a conscientious decision that he thinks he can, you know, put together even a better year. I think he got off to a great start yesterday.
Yeah.
In terms of what he did and what he did against the Browns. You know, I think his play speaks louder than words. And, you know, I think he expects to have a great year under Coach Sim and then probably feel comfortable to talk about it then. But, you know, each individual is different. Things, opportunities come, and when they are and the player feels good about something, then we certainly will move to do something. At the same time, you know, sometimes players just aren't ready yet. They don't feel like their situation is in the right situation to start the process. And, you know, this day and time, these players, they do well. It's changing even more so now. You got players coming in here who've made a lot of money in college.
Yeah.
And so they don't feel the pressure. They want to put some skins on the wall, which most of these guys, that's why they play in the NFL on Sundays, because they're very skilled, they're very confident, they're very competitive, and feel like, you know, they're building their resume for their next contract.
So this is Steven kind of making it sound like Mike is like, no, I'll wait, I'm good. I really want to focus on the year and not the contract. What did Micah Parsons have to say about it on his Edge podcast after Dak got paid?
a lot of fans is worried about me, man. I know I'm going to be a Cowboy. You know, there's nothing like Cowboy Nation. I think the love is very mutual. But as for me, man, I'm just focused on winning games. I want to win those big games. I want to win those playoff games, get to the Super Bowl. For me, the contract is not really what I'm worried about. It's just me being the best player I can be for my guys, my teammates. And, you know, if a contract, something like that happens further up, then that happens. But right now, we're going to focus on just trying to be legendary, be great, and bring championships back to Dallas, because that's what the most important thing is.
That's a nice scripted out good PR answer. Is there any chance that Micah's like, no, I don't want to deal with it this year?
It's possible.
The only way to win out of that is the non-quarterback. All the contracts would just go up. There's nothing Micah Parsons is going to do this year.
Right,
that gets him evaluated as a better player. He's a freaking all-world generational stud. Nothing he does this year is going to make us change our... They're not going to keep evaluating Micah like they did Dak.
No, they're not. They're not. The only thing that hurts Micah is hurt. Yeah. Literally, it's it. You know, and that's
injury,
that's the risk.
Worse for him than Dak.
Injury's way worse for him because, Dak, so long as he doesn't have a Chad Pennington noodle arm, rips up his shoulder and he can't throw, right?
He's knocking on a lot of wood.
Yeah. Well, his contract's signed now, so he doesn't care.
No, for Micah.
For Micah, yeah. That's Micah's issue. Micah's issue is he has far more to worry about. And that's why, I think it was Florio said, if I'm Micah Parsons, I don't know why Micah would even step on the field again until he gets a new contract.
Yeah, I'm trying to see just who's coming up that he might be waiting on. And I don't think it's anybody that's going to push the market up that much more for non-quarterbacks. Aiden Hutchinson is open next year. Derek Stingley Jr., maybe Sauce. But Sauce, that'd have to push up the corner market a ton for him to do that. But, I mean, otherwise, maybe there's some other veterans that are coming up here soon. Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore, those guys are coming open next year. But I don't know.
So Garrett, TJ, Bosa, all good?
Yes, they are all dead. Now, Crosby might be coming up again soon is what it is. By the way, Jerry Jones took up Below the Belt, which is sponsored by A1 Air.
Let's crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece. What did they think of the updated Tyreek Hill body cam video? KNC joins us next. Crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece is happening right now here with Sean, RJ, and Roberto. Corey Majors, I did half chuckle, half curse you yesterday driving home saying on Sean, RJ, Bobby Payton, and Carter as you continue to mock our show name.
Whenever Mike came onto our show, you were like, why is his name not included? And all these guys are on the show, and it's Sean and RJ, right? But Bobby's here.
No, I say Bobby all the time. Okay. We're inclusive.
When I look at the station imaging...
Well, go talk to Spittle, all right? Go talk to Spittle or Purdy about that, not me.
Look, for a long time, I was like, I'm totally fine with this because I get to come in at 6. These schlubs have to do the 5:30. Now that it's even, I think I should come in at 6:30 or it should just be the Bobby show.
What's coming up today, Corey?
How do you think the Bobby show would go? I'm sorry, Corey.
Well, Jerry would never hear his questions.
Good job, Corey. Thank you.
About like Firefly, canceled after 3 episodes.
Not sure I ever saw it.
Exactly.
Or heard of it.
Exactly. Firefly the festival?
No, it was Firefest. Oh. Firefly was
a Western in space.
Yeah, it was like Star Wars.
Western in space?
Yeah, they like flew around in their spaceships, but then they landed on like rodeo planets and stuff.
Cowboy Bebop's like that.
Cowboy planets, that's what I was looking for, not rodeo planets.
Western's like, you can't lose. I mean, I'm sure you'd watch it.
I'd tune into a Western.
Costner in there. Yeah. And bam, there you go. Bobby's wife starring in it, our co-star. Yes, she's going to be in Yellowstone.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
She's going to be one of the extras when they play a 17-minute country music concert that drives the story nowhere.
That is
That
so
might
true.
Be exactly what she
Boy,
is.
They, I'll tell you, after about season 2, they got really popular. Like, we need to make some more money. So they just started throwing
They desperately need a better editor.
Every promotional spot in there.
Corey, what's coming up?
Trey Wingo does join us at 10:20 today. Also, we will discuss the greatness of James Earl Jones at 11:20. And NFL staff writer for The Athletic, Ted Wynn, joins us at 1:20 today.
Oh, Teddy.
Yeah, he's a real football nerd. I like that.
He's very, very good.
You get to pick whether you would like to...
As long as it's not what we were talking about in the break, I'd pick anything but that.
It is.
Kevin,
would you like
You don't like either of them?
Talk about the Tyreek... body cam video or the debate tonight
will choose the debate.
Whoa, okay. That should tell you how much he doesn't want to talk about the other one.
We have 10 minutes left.
These are two no win topics. Like you have to pick a side.
RJ, what? You got to pick a side.
Pick a side. And so I'll go with the one that everybody's going to be most divisive about.
Are you guys going to watch tonight?
I think so. I think there's a lot of intrigue from the unknown of Kamala.
There's not a lot of unknown.
I mean, I don't know if anyone is watching being like, this is what I learned about Donald Trump today. Like, I feel like you probably have a good feeling one way or another, and maybe you just want to know more about her before making your decision.
You feel like there's not going to be a lot of gleaning of policy tonight. It's just going to be more of a back and forth punching.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to be able to hold her own with him from a verbal sparring standpoint?
Yeah. But I mean, the smart thing to do is just to ignore it. Like, that's what he wants. He wants you to look and be like, I think you have a comb over. Then it's over. You're screwed because he is just going to just attack you all night long. Just ignore him. Just ignore if, like, that's your strategy. Just ignore whatever you deem as a personal attack.
You cannot ignore it. I'm going to be at a podium. I'm going to be so imposing. One of the most imposing presidents ever. 6'2 and 225.
225.
Very lean, very muscular. She's very small, very weak, very feeble. And I'm going to go over there and I'm gonna shake her hand. And my dad told me to have a great handshake. And I do. They say, Donald, people tell me, yeah, such a great handshake. You have one of the best handshakes ever. And I'm going to shake her hand. I'm going to pull her in. Okay. And she's going to give me a dead fish. Very weak handshake.
Dead fish.
One of the worst handshakes you're ever going to see.
Sharif,
I'm going to pull her in. Very bad breath she's going to have, too. She's going to be very nervous. Cotton mouth everywhere. And we're going to sit at this podium, and I'm going to show exactly why I'm just the best.
That sounded very much like more Jim Rome or something than...
No, that was strong.
The clones.
Which
hurts the voice. I don't know how Shane Gillis did this for 2 hours.
Which do you buy more, the 6'2", 225, or the 6 handicap?
Handicap.
I think 6'2 is like pretty objective. Is he not like 6'2?
Yeah, so I'm saying for the frame.
Yeah. Oh, handicap. For the frame. I don't think there's a chance he's 225.
Did we confirm the networks and who's moderating?
I guess it's on everywhere.
I think it's on everywhere.
Would you like the debates even more if they just asked each other questions? Then you could frame the question however you wanted.
Yeah.
Instead of the moderator trying really hard.
Then it would be her being a prosecutor.
Sure.
Like her setting up things the way a lawyer would.
Okay. Now, for what you really wanted to talk about. What did you think of the Tyreek body cam footage?
Let's see if I can get away with this. This is a very unfortunate situation across the board.
Okay.
That's my thoughts.
That's your thoughts?
Dude, you guys were telling me about all the feedback you were getting. It feels
so
like,
what? Who cares about the feedback?
It feels like regardless of what you say, people are going to get mad or threaten to never listen to the show again and everything like that. I'm curious to see what happens next.
Okay. Corey, you have a non-scared take?
I feel both.
I am?
Yes.
Both could have handled that far differently. Tyreek could have definitely complied a lot faster. The police officer could have used less aggression. But I totally understand a police officer being like, hey, I can't see in your windows. I don't know who you are. And I can't see in your car.
Yeah.
And I have to protect myself, too. So I totally understand that part. I feel like there could have been less aggression. I feel like Tyreek Hill could have complied a lot faster. And on the Calais Campbell front, I was like, I guess in that situation, you say, where can I stand and what can I do?
Yeah.
And just say, okay, I can stand here. I'll be over here then. But I'm watching, making sure I keep my eyes on things. Yeah.
Yes. So there is a retired NYPD detective whose post is kind of going viral. We follow each other. And I found this pretty interesting. My thoughts on the Tyreek arrest/detention. As a police officer, half the battle is de-escalation. Write the summons. You're walking away from the vehicle. Who cares if he puts his window up? You have his ID. It's not our job to teach grown people manners. Being rude isn't a crime. Yo, man, sweet ride. Why were you driving so fast? Slow down. Have a good game. And by the way, you found the video of what apparently got him pulled over.
Yeah, it was...
some people trying to say he was going 120 and a 30.
Oh, he was not going 120. No. He was speeding. Like, there was no... Like, compared to the other... I don't know what the speed limit is, but based on the flow of everybody else that was going, you could see as Tyreek drove by. I mean, he was going considerably faster. Yeah. I mean, let's just say it was a 30. He was probably doing 50.
Yeah.
50 okay. to 60.
If he was right? driving 120, the Chiefs never would have traded him.
Right, absolutely. So, I mean, point. He was going faster. And there was like, you know, those orange cones and barrels. Yeah. So either it was a construction zone or that was just like their pre-game planning of traffic flow, right?
Okay. The detective continues. Hang on real quick. I have let bona fide criminals that I had locked up in the past go for similar violations. Should you follow a lawful order when stopped? Yes, but there are plenty of opportunities to squash this. His friend pulls over to see what's going on. Why so aggressive with him? Say, your friend is being detained. Please keep driving. It's unsafe to park there. There are enough legitimate criminals out there that we have to worry about. These police officers were unprofessional, in my opinion.
And I totally appreciate his perspective because he did the job. Like, that's one of the things that I run into that I'm kind of struggling with is when people want your opinion. And I understand, like, easing up just a little bit. But I'm sure there's people who are listening this morning or on social media or whatever. It's like, that is what my dad tried to do and he got shot in the head.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, that's yeah. where I kind of struggle to give you a better perspective because I can tell you all this stuff having never had that job. And I can see how people listening would be like, this is what happened to one of my loved ones. And so I disagree with you as much as conceivably possible.
Yeah, I blamed Tyreek a little bit more just from, was a guy over the top, administrative leave, fair suspension coming, justified probably.
That dude has had an ego trip. Like, I don't know what it was,
yeah.
but you could clearly tell the guy talking, the loud one. I mean, he was a problem. He was completely unprofessional. He did not de-escalate.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that the number one job for the cop, is you got to de-escalate this thing. Calm everything down.
Well, Tyreek, you know, gave attitude to start. Don't be touching my window like that. That's probably not going to help things.
Sure.
He did not tell the truth about just both hands on the wheel. At least according to that video. Maybe he did and there was a video beforehand. And then, you know, not rolling the window down. You know, he was asked and told 3, 4, 5 times, roll your window down. And we've gotten into debates over whether rolling your window down is a crime or not. And then when they told him to sit down on the sidewalk, he said, I had knee surgery. Well, someone already knew it was Tyreek Hill. One of the officers said,
that's
Tyreek
Hill. I heard one of them say.
Yeah. So he's going to play at a football game and have an 80-yard catch, right? So yeah. He didn't want to. He wanted to take his time in doing it.
Sure.
They put him on the ground. So I felt like, you know, Tyreek was not as cooperative as I would have been with a police officer. Like, I'm going to tell my kids, cop tells you to do something, freaking do it. They got to tell you 3 times, then you can get shot. That's going to be the rule in my house. Calais Campbell, I felt for, because he's in that in-between decision of, am I going to leave my friend and my teammate with some of the police incidents that have happened in the past? He's going to assume his innocence probably sure. initially yeah. and think that Tyreek Hill is being victimized.
Yeah.
Then you have an officer telling you 5, 6, 7 times, get in the car, leave, and don't park there. I felt for Calais stuck in that situation.
Former Walter Payton Man of the Year. But, like, you don't know that. When that person pulls up, you're like, hold on. He was a Walter Payton Man of the Year. Come on over. Like, you don't know that.
Right. Yeah. So
I suggest, I don't know, actually. Have you seen the movie Rebel Ridge on Netflix yet? If you have Netflix, it's a movie called Rebel Ridge. It starts out, guy riding his bicycle gets clipped by a policeman, and then things go from there and escalate. And it is fantastic. I watched it on Friday. It was intense from the moment it started
wow.
all the way until the end. It was just, there was lots of tension, and I enjoyed that.
If you're looking for something that has no such redeeming social qualities or insight, I saw the first 2 episodes of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives on Hulu.
Oh, my wife is watching it.
Because my wife wanted to watch it.
Yep.
It is so dumb, but oddly
really
entertaining.
Really dumb.
It's so dumb.
All these
Mormon
wives.
But it's still entertaining.
Hot Mormon wives swinging with each other.
Yeah,
they've done a lot of terrible things in explaining.
Yes. They
you and I align on breaking down documentaries and this stuff. Like, Who are the couples? Who are the who are sleeping with each other? Let's start there.
But they all, I mean, they're doing the show.
We skip ahead after they got the domestic violence thing. Like, what's the follow up? We just let's go ahead to the next episode.
There, the main character, I'm forgetting, it might be Taylor.
Joseph Smith.
Taylor is.
It's Taylor. Her mom has more common sense than anyone in the entire show. She's like, "Why are you doing this? What? Well, you just got a divorce, so." Should you be dating straight away? Why not? Yeah. He's also an addict. And?
Yeah.
Well, you might be pregnant with his baby. So? I'm like, she's making some quality points. You might just want to slow down
a little
bit.
They're huge on TikTok. They call themselves the
Romneys.
No.
What is the TikTok? What's their name? Mom Talk.
The Mom Talk.
Mom Talk.
M-O-N-T-O-K. Not Mom Talk.
Mon. Mon.
Mom.
Mom.
Moms.
Because they're parents.
Mom Talk. Mom. Okay. Yeah. And they're like, some of them were swinging with each other.
Oh, baby.
Yes.
All right. I might be the Hulu. I think I actually have Hulu.
I don't even know what it is.
I'm pretty sure it was Hulu.
All right. We're back tomorrow morning here on Sean and RJ. The K&C Masterpiece is next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.